You're listening to a Peak Media production.
And now, coming to you from the Windy City, it's The Daily Dime with your host, Tim Keller.
Welcome, everyone, to this Monday edition of The Daily Dime. Today is May 5th, Cinco de Mayo, and we had a ton going on this weekend, so let's jump right into it. All right, so we'll start off in the NBA, where we had Game 7 between the Clippers and the Nuggets in Denver on Saturday. The Nuggets would go on to win 120-101, and frankly, this was basically exactly what I was expecting out of this Game 7 and exactly what I expected out of this series coming into it. So not a ton of surprises here. The Nuggets had super balanced attack. They got contributions from a bunch of guys. And then we had another Harden stinker in the playoffs. What's new? So Nuggets win. They'll move on to play Oklahoma City in the second round. And honestly, this was not the best game from Jokic or Jamal Murray, but they just got a bunch of other really solid contributions, and it was enough. Jokic finished with 16 points, so did Murray. Jokic did have 10 rebounds and 8 assists, so not a bad game overall, but not his typical, you know, like supernova numbers. But they got 22 points from Aaron Gordon, 21 points from Brown, 15 points from Michael Porter Jr., and he had a huge plus-minus. He was plus 31, which was the best on the team. And then they got a fantastic game from Russell Westbrook, too. He had 16 points. He only took 9 shots. He was super efficient. He had 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 5 steals, and only 2 turnovers in 27 minutes. So just a ton of energy from him. Great on the defensive end. He also had a great moment where he ended up with a dunk that was pretty late, and he just hung on the rim until he knew he was going to get teed up just to fire up the crowd even more, which I thought was pretty awesome. But yeah, huge game from him. And then on the flip side, you know, the Clippers, they get another bad game from Harden. He went just 2 for 8 with 7 points in 35 minutes. He did have 13 assists, which is hard to hate on that. But just again, just not showing up in the biggest moments that he needs to in the postseason. And here we are with another first round exit. Kawhi wasn't great either. I mean, he didn't have a bad game. He was 6 for 13 from the field. He had 22 points, but just not as impactful as you need to be. You're the best player on the team. It's a game 7 on the road. Your team needs to rely on you much more than anyone else, especially any of the role players. And he finishes with 22 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. And he had the team worst plus minus. He was minus 33 in his 33 minutes played. So not a huge game from Kawhi. Obviously, more of the blame is going to go to Harden in this one. But yeah, pretty much exactly what we expected. I predicted that this game would probably go 7. I was hoping it would go 7, and it was. It was a super entertaining series. But you know, we gave a slight edge to the Nuggets just having home court, and that's what we got. So yeah, Nuggets advance. They will play OKC in the second round. Then yesterday we had 2 games. The first was first game between Cavs Pacers in round 2 in Cleveland, and the Pacers came in and just stole this one from the Cavs. They absolutely shot the lights out in this one, and that was the biggest difference. They were 53% from 3. They were 19 for 36. And the Cavs only shot 24% from 3. They were 9 for 38, and as I mentioned, that was really the biggest difference in this one. The biggest culprit was probably Donovan Mitchell. He was 1 for 11 from 3. He ended up taking 30 shots. He was just 13 for 30 on the night. So he still finished with 33 points, but just not an efficient night from him. And same from Ty Jerome. He took 20 shots. He ended up with 21 points. But they combined those two. They were just 21 for 50 from the field. And it's going to be hard to win when you have two guys taking that many shots and they're just not making that many of them. I mean, it sounds simple, but it's the point of the game. And it just, you know, the ball just wasn't falling for them. And I don't hate Jerome taking 20 shots because Darius Garland didn't play again. And I think they needed that aggression early on, but they're just going to need both those guys to be more efficient if they're going to have a chance in this series. And I think they do. I think they'll still win this series, but kind of a shocking result in game 1 as Indiana steals home court from the Cavs. And on the Indiana side, I mean, I will say, first of all, I think the Cavs defense was very poor. I forget what the exact stat was, but I saw one of the advanced analytics on Twitter where it was some obscene percentage of the Pacers shots were essentially uncontested, about as open as you'll get in the NBA. But to their credit, they made them. And I really thought three guys were huge here, especially Nembhard and Nesmith. They combined for 40 points. They were 9 for 12 from three. And it just felt like every time that they needed a big shot coming down the stretch, where the Cavs maybe were starting to make a run, they just completely negated it with a huge three. And then Mathurin was great too. He was 3 for 5 from three. He had 11 points. And those guys kind of got them to the finish line, I guess. And then Halliburton just closed it out. He was pretty quiet for most of the game. He did have 13 assists, so he was doing a lot of facilitating, but wasn't scoring a ton. And then at the end, it just felt like he had all the daggers. He couldn't miss, and he closed it out for him. So yeah, Pacers go up 1-0. You got to feel great if you're a Pacers fan. You know, you come in, not a lot of people are giving you a chance in this series, and you steal game one. And then as a Cavs fan, I think you have some mixed emotions because, one, there's a big question mark around Darius Garland. I don't think anyone realized the severity of his toe injury. At least I thought they just weren't playing him in games 3 and 4 of the Heat series as kind of a precaution. It's like, okay, you're up 2-0 and then you're up 3-0. You don't really have a lot of urgency to play him. There's not a lot of risk if you don't, so might as well let him get healthy. I thought he would for sure be back for the series. And then they were reporting during the game yesterday that if this was the regular season, he would be out for like multiple weeks. So I don't know how many more games he's going to miss. We'll see if he tries to push it for game two. But I was kind of shocked that he wasn't playing yesterday. And then, but with that all being said, he didn't play. You had your worst shooting game of the year from three. They had made double-digit threes in every single game this year, literally every single game until yesterday. They only made 9. So all things being considered, you were in this game for a large majority of it. They had the lead with 7 minutes left, even with that terrible shooting night. Obviously it didn't go their way. They still end up losing by 9, but I don't think you feel too bad if you're a Cavs fan after game one. I think you got to assume that, you know, just the law of averages, Pacers are going to come down a little bit from three. You're probably going to get a little bit better and that'll be the difference that you need. But anyway, Indiana gets a 1-0 series lead in that one. And then we had game 7 between the Warriors and the Rockets in Houston. And the Warriors would win this one 103-89 in what was the Buddy Hield show, especially in the first half. Just in the first half, he had 6 threes and 22 points. It felt like he could not miss. And you knew things were going to go well for the Warriors when they were winning 51-39 at halftime. And Steph only had 3 points. He didn't score until 30 seconds left in the second quarter. And so that's where you just kind of knew Houston was going to struggle. If Steph hasn't done anything yet and you're still down by 12, probably not going to like your chances in that one. I will say that they kind of hung around. They kept it within striking distance throughout the third, but they just never really got close enough. And then Steph was really good down the stretch. But I will say, this is where I've given him a lot of credit, I feel like, in these playoffs about how he's made a lot of the big shots, a lot of the clutch shots they needed when the game was tight or if they were losing. But this kind of felt like the old Steph, where I've given him a lot of criticism in the past, where it felt like he wasn't making a lot of the shots that really mattered in the game. It was more so the ones where they had decent leads, you know, probably from like somewhere in between like 7 to 15 points, and then he just starts unleashing threes, which puts the game out of reach, which is hard to complain about, but not the ones where it's like coming down the stretch and it's a 1-point game or you're losing. It just never felt like he had a lot of moments like that. And this felt like kind of the old times again, where I forget the exact stat again on this one, but I think like I want to say it was like 13 or 14 of his 22 points came when they had a double-digit lead, and none of them came within a one-score game. So it felt like Buddy Hield and Jimmy Butler really led the way in this one. They had a pretty balanced attack from all their starters, not a ton of contributions from the bench. Steph still finished with 22 and 8 for 16 from the field, even after his poor start. So it's hard to complain about. And obviously, like, he just, when he goes nuclear, it just puts the game out of reach. And they did. They had a run in the fourth quarter where they were up by 8, and then in a minute you blinked and they were up by 20. Like, it happened so fast between Steph, Buddy Hield, and Jimmy Butler. So anyway, Buddy Hield finished with 33 on 12 for 15 shooting. He was 9 for 11 from 3, so just an awesome game from him. Like I said, Steph still finished with 22. Jimmy Butler had 20. Draymond had a good game. He was 7 for 15 from the field. He had 16 points. And then Pajemski, not his best game, but he still had 9 on 4 for 12 shooting. So pretty solid game from all their starters. And then the Rockets, we still had this anomaly with Jalen Green where he had that huge game in game 2, and then every other game he's just kind of been non-existent. And it was the same story in this one. He played 30 minutes, but he only had 8 points. And this is while Amen Thompson played great. He had 24 on a really efficient night. Şengün had 21. Van Fleet had 17. They just needed someone else in there contributing, and they just couldn't get it. Dylan Brooks only had 8. Like I said, Green only had 8. Didn't really get a lot off the bench, and it wasn't going to be enough on a night when Buddy Hield is doing that from 3. So the Warriors advance. They will now play Minnesota in the second round, with that first game being Tuesday. And that pretty much wraps up the first round. Well, it does wrap up the first round of the NBA playoffs. Second round is completely set now. Obviously, we already had game 1 between the Cavs and Pacers. I really am not too worried about that as a Cavs fan. I know you're down 0-1, but I think they still probably win in 6. I just don't think you're going to see a shooting performance like that again from Indiana, and I think they're going to be much better from 3 moving forward. Then also in the East, we have Boston and the Knicks. Their first game will be tonight at 7 o'clock Eastern. And this series just feels like all Boston to me. I think they're going to win in 5. I think the Knicks are going to be lucky to get a game, but I do think they'll get at least 1, probably at home. But I really like Boston big in this one. And then out in the West, we'll have OKC and Denver. I think OKC wins this probably in like 6. I do think Denver will win a couple games, but I think they're going to get crushed in game 1, which is also tonight following Knicks Celtics. It just feels like, I don't know, the Thunder have had a lot of rest. The Nuggets have not. They just wrapped up their series against the Clippers. And I think the Thunder are going to smash the Nuggets tonight. I think they probably win by double digits. But I do think Denver will get a couple games in that series. And then the final second round matchup, as we just mentioned, will be the Timberwolves and the Warriors. I actually think the Warriors win this, but I think it takes them 7 games. I think it's going to be a great back and forth. But I just think they match up a little bit better. I think they'll be able to expose Gobert a little bit more than the Lakers were able to. And I think they'll end up winning in 7. I think there's also so much to be said about just their playoff experience and just everything about their whole organization, from Steve Kerr, and then obviously the amount of games that Steph and Draymond and Jimmy have played in the postseason. I think that's going to give them a big advantage. So I don't think they'll end up winning in 7, but I think that's going to be a great series. So yeah, that's kind of the preview for the NBA. We also had 2 great games in the NHL this weekend. Starting off on Saturday, we had the Stars hosting the Avalanche in Game 7 of their first round series. And the Avalanche pretty much controlled this whole game, it felt like. They were up 2-0 late, but then there was a flurry of goals in the third period from the Stars, including a hat trick from Mikko Rantanen, as they would go on to win 4-2 and advance to the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And then we had what felt like the game of the year on Sunday between the Blues and the Jets. This was also Game 7 in Winnipeg, and the Blues were up 3-1 super, super late. And then the Jets got 2 goals in the final 2 minutes, including one from Perfetti with like 2 seconds left to tie it and send the game to overtime. And then they got another, or actually no one scored in overtime, and then in double overtime, Adam Lowry scored late in that one to give the Jets the win, completing the comeback, as they would also advance to the second round of the playoffs as well. So now whole second round is set in the NHL. Tonight we'll have game 1 between the Maple Leafs and the Panthers in Toronto. And then tomorrow in the other East series, we will have the Caps and the Hurricanes. And then in the West, following that game, we will have the Knights and the Oilers. And then on Wednesday, we will have game one between the Jets and the Stars to wrap up the Western Conference. So that's pretty much all we've got from hockey. But then we had another story coming out of college football where Michigan announced a self-imposed suspension for their head coach, Sharon Moore, for games 3 and 4 against Central Michigan and Nebraska. And this just, they've had so many issues stemming from, this is supposed to be stemming from the cheating scandal with Connor Stallions. And they're at this point where, like, it feels like everyone from that team is either, like, gone or has had some type of suspension or other penalties or something. And I'm just super curious at this point what's going to come out of this from the NCAA, because it feels like it just keeps getting worse and worse. And it's really peculiar coming the day after their president, Santono, said he was going to leave. I don't know. There's a lot of questions here. So I'm not going to speculate like too much, because I think we're going to get a lot more info in the coming days. But it just feels like kind of pathetic from Michigan at this point. Like, this is this alleged prestigious academic institution with also great athletics, and it just feels like they have no real leadership right now. And I just don't, even the suspension is weird. Like, why games 3 and 4? I don't know if that's because you want him for your first two non-conference games, especially your second game at Oklahoma. But I hate when teams like handpick these self-imposed suspensions. Like, why not games 6 and 7? Why not games 10 and 11 or 1 and 5? I mean, I don't know. Like, it's just, that just feels weird to me. And if they truly cheated to the extent that's been alleged from Stallions and some of these other coaches or whoever involved with the organization, then like a 2-game suspension is not going to cut it. Like, the NCAA is going to come down way harder on them than 2 games. And it's deserved. Like, the ramifications of that for not only their team, but how that affected other teams, how you're essentially defrauding like the NFL even and the NFL teams, because who knows how those guys would have performed if they didn't have that advantage. And then maybe they got drafted higher. Maybe some of these teams essentially got like scammed. I mean, I think this is like so much bigger than some people are trying to make it out to be. And so I don't know. We'll see how it plays out. I don't really think it's going to affect their performance that much next season. I don't think Moore is that great of a coach, to be frank. I don't think he's going to be the answer for them. And I think he's probably going to end up being a bigger scapegoat than anything. I think he probably gets fired because they just end up pinning a lot of this on him and they don't want to put it on Harbaugh or bad performance or maybe both. But either way, the team just doesn't feel like they're going to be that great next year either. I think their ceiling is like 10 and 2, but largely because they don't have that strong of a schedule. And I think eventually these penalties are going to come down, and I think it's going to hit them really hard. So I don't know. I don't want to talk about it too much more yet because we just don't have that much info. I think we're going to learn a lot in the coming days, but just not a great scenario for the Michigan football program right now. So anyway, that's all we got for today, so we'll just about wrap it up. As always, thank you for listening, and if you would, please consider following the show and rating 5 stars on Apple or Spotify or wherever else you may listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow. See ya.